Good. So let's jump into Gemara once again from the top. Yosef Rav Kahana, Achud Rav Yehuda, Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda's probably younger brother of Kahana is sitting in Rav Huna's yeshiva, and they're reciting apparently a brisa. Yosef Ka'amar sitting and reciting the following. Two cases. We had one, the first case we already discussed. Now this brisa or this memra has both cases. Number one, the pan, the salting pan. You're not allowed to use the salting pan to eat hot food because the hot food will draw out with the koch of the heat. The heat will be maflit, will draw out the flavor that was already nivla, that was already absorbed into the pan. So the melichas habasar drove the tam of the dam, the trefe flavor of the blood into the pan. If I'm going to eat hot kosher food in that pan, the heat is going to draw out the trefe flavor of the blood. So that is a problem. If I have a radish that I chop with a knife, with a fleshik knife, it is mutter to eat that radish in kutach, in a milchik sauce, a tzatziki or a yogurt sauce or a ranch. Buttermilk ranch dressing. So the hot meat in the pan will become treif. But the radish, the sharp radish that I cut with a knife, will not become fleshik. It will remain parv, and therefore I am allowed to eat it subsequently with milchik, because it's parv. That was what Rav Kahana said. Now we're going to see, just as an aside, the very last line of the Amud, literally the last line. You see there's a Hilchasa, and we say, Tzunon shechasach b'sakin shechasach b'basar. You have a knife you had previously used to cut meat, and now you're cutting the sharp rash with it. Aser l'achol b'kutach. Ultimately, we're going to pass an aser. So keep that in mind. But for now, Rav Kahana presented that the radish is mutter. The radish, mutter even in milchik. So the radish remains pariv, but the hot salmon in the salting pan becomes treif. So the question the Gemara has is, my taima. Well, why? How do you understand that? Okay, so again, the implication appears to be that, as we discussed yesterday, the davar charif is a method of tam transfer, or more specifically, the combination of duchka de sakina and davar charif, the combination of the pressure of the knife together with the sharpness of the radish creates a tam transfer. Even though there's no heat and there's no salt and there's no 24-hour soak, but yet here it's not an issue. So the question is why. My time, how come the difference? It didn't say because here it's hot and here it's cold. So apparently the Amoraim are all assuming that yes, Duchat Sakina could create a time transfer. So how come it doesn't here? How come the rash stays pyrav but the hot salmon in the salting pan becomes treif? So Abaye gives an answer. Amar Abaye says, Hi Hetaira Bala, Hi Isura Bala. Answer number one is, well, the difference is kasher or treif. The flavor of blood in the pan is isura bala. The pan absorbed a treif of flavor, while the knife absorbed a kosher flavor. Right, Rashi says, "Hai isura bala, ka'ara bala dam." The pan absorbed the taste of blood, which is a treif of flavor. But the knife just absorbed the flavor of the meat, which was fleshik, but kosher. So that's what Abaye says. And Rava says, okay, so here it's a kosher flavor, kosher. Here it's a treif of flavor, so treif. That's what Abaye sounds like he's saying. And Rava says, I don't understand you at all. Amalei Rava, kibala het teira mayhavi. Why does the chiluk matter? What's the hesber for the chiluk? Why does the difference make a difference? Why does this matter? It's true that there is a factual distinction between the two cases. In one case, talk about a treif of flavor of blood. The other case, talk about a kosher of flavor, just fleshik. But lemay nafka mina, just because you gave a chiluk doesn't automatically answer your kasha. It has to be a hesber for the chiluk. Sof sof, says Rava, hai heter dasi de yisurahu. It's a heter that comes, asi means come, it's barley de yisur, de yisur ka'achal, you're going to be eating yisur. Rashi explains, okay, sof sof, hai heter dasi, what means it comes to yisur? Kishanos no bekutach. It's true that right now I slice the radish with the fleshig knife, the radish is still kosher, it's just a question whether it's fleshig. But therefore what? So I don't understand, Rava says. Suffolk dam is aser, but Suffolk fleshig is, yes, mutter, but Suffolk fleshig is pariv? The question isn't, can I eat the radish alone? Of course you can eat the radish alone. Who cares whether it's fleshig or pariv? The question was, can I eat the radish in kutach? Can I eat the radish in a milchik sauce, a yogurt sauce, a tzatziki, whatever, buttermilk ranch sauce, whatever type of milchik sauce it is? Salsa con queso, right? Salsa with milk, with cheese, whatever it is. The question was, if it's pariv, I can eat it in milchik sauce. If it's fleshik, I cannot eat it in milchik sauce. So the fact that initially it was heterobala, that's nice, but why does it matter? Now you should file away, Rabosai. The chiluk of heterobala yisurabala is going to be relevant in the next sugya. But it's just not really relevant here. We are going to see other areas of halacha, including the very next sugya after the two dots of not bar not. We'll get to that. Where we do, some rishonim say that we do differentiate between whether the original bliya was mutter or aser. Was the original bliya just a question of, you know, fleshig milchik, or was the original bliya a question of treif? That will come up. But Rava says, but it's not relevant here. Why does it matter what the original bliya was? But you want to know whether you can have, you want to know whether you can eat the radish with the milchik sauce. So Rava says you have to give it a different chiluk, which in a sense is sort of like a twist on what Abaye said. Rava says, Ela Omar Rava. Rava says, no. Hi, Efshel Mitamei. The difference is, here you can taste it, and here you cannot taste it. Just a word of grammar, just for a moment. Hope the term grammar doesn't, or diktuk doesn't send a shiver running down your spine. Just very, very briefly. Very simple and very important. Very useful in learning Gemara. The word lemit ame looks a little complicated. There's a lamer and a mem and a yud, and hey, what's going on there? Just to know the following. When you want to say to do something in Hebrew, you just add, loosely speaking, a lamed. Right? Lishmar, la'asos, la'das, right? Lishaber. Just add the lamed at the beginning, means to do, fill in the blank. In Aramaic, though, often you add a lamed mem. I mentioned some of you in Seder this morning. In Hebrew, to say is lemar. Or lomar. But in Aramaic, it's not lemar, it's lememar. You add a lamed mem. Right? To tie is not liktar, it's lemiktar. To stand is lemekam. To taste, coming to our Gemara, is lemitam. Lemitam means to taste. In Hebrew, it would be litom. In Aramaic, it's not litam, but limitam. Limitame means to taste it. Litaamo. So hi, going back to Rava. Hi, efshar limitame. This item, it is possible to taste it. The hi, but this item, lo efshar limitame. It's not possible to taste it. What do you mean it's not possible to taste it? So Rashi explains. Haitz known, Efshal Yisrael, Litoamo. There you have the word in Hebrew, Litoamo. The radish, a Jew can taste it. Kodem shitnenu bekutach. Before you sliced it with a fleshik knife, I want to know, is it fleshik or pariv? Am I allowed to put it into the kutach or not? Before you stick in the milchiks, taste it in the kitchen, and you'll see. And then he says, what do you mean? It's mutter to put into kutach. Hi mutter de ka'amar. Kigon Shetama Batrila, Vahaya Lahaya Batam Shemnunis. Rashi points out Rava is making an Okimta. That when Rav Kana said, Snon Shechasacha Besakin, Mutal Achal Bakutach, you slice that stone with a knife, you're allowed to eat it in Kutach, means you're allowed to eat Kutach if you already taste tested it and discovered that it has no fleshic taste. It has no fleshic taste, since it remains part. But in a Hanami, if you taste tested it, the taste tested the rash, and you can notice a fleshic taste, then you cannot put it into the milchiks. Now, why not do that by the hot salmon that you put down on the salting pan? Taste it and see if it has a tam of dam or not. If it has a tam of dam, you won't eat it. If it doesn't have a tam of dam, you will eat it. It will eat it. So the answer is, hi, the dam hakara, lo afshalemitame. You can't taste. I mean, taste it and see if you're allowed to eat it. Now, how'd you taste it? It's a suffix treif. Over here, it's just a suffix fleshik. So before you put in the milk, taste it. It's, this point, before you put in the milk, it's just a, either way, it's kosher, it's a suffix fleshik or parv. So taste it and see if it tastes fleshik or parv. But this is sort of going back to Abaye. Because the original belief by the Dan was Isurabala, so practically, what that means, not conceptually, but practically speaking, means you cannot experiment. You cannot check. Because even if Taka has a tam of dam, I shouldn't even be putting my mouth in the first place. So I'm not allowed to check. So Rav Papa says to Rava, and I have a problem with your answer. Let's see his problem, and that will leave us with a direction for tomorrow, Mitzvah. Hamalei Rav Papa LaRava, well, Velutame Kfela, Arma. Okay, so by the hot salmon you put into the treif salting pan, so a Jew cannot taste it, because if it has a tam dam, the Jew shouldn't put it in his mouth. But let a kfela arma, an arami, a non-Jewish kfela, Rashi says, is a nachtom ovekochavim. Bring the non-Jewish baker. Bring Christopher the baker. Let him taste the salmon. And if it tastes like blood, it's not a problem. He's not forbidden to taste blood, because he's not Jewish. So let him taste it. We'll bring in an outside expert. Milo Tanya, isn't it a brisa? See, this is also Tosef and Trumas. Earlier in Trumas, the previous parak. If you have a fleshik pot, you're not allowed to cook milchiks in a fleshik pot. You cook fleshik in the pot, you can't use it for milchiks. This is a source of fleshik kalem, milchik kalem. This brisa, this Tosef and Trumas, quoted right here, Chulin Kufi Alvin Beis. This is how you know you have to have two sets of pots in a kosher kitchen. Because Tosefta says, pots become milchik or fleshik. Okay. The imbisha, let's say you did. You took a fleshik pot and you put milchiks in it. You cooked the milchiks and you cooked the cheese omelet in the fleshik frying pan. Now what? Beno Saint Tom. So it depends whether it gives taste or not. And bisha batruma lo yivasha batchulin. If a kohen has truma in his house and he has pots, he cooks truma and pans he uses for truma, you cannot put in non-truma for the Yisraelim to eat, because the Yisraelim are not allowed to eat truma. Then Bisha, if you did, Beno Saint Tom. You better taste it and see if the chulin food has a truma dika flavor. Now, the Amrina, and Rav Papa quotes, Amaram said about this brisa, Bishlama truma tam lakoin. I understand the second case, the seifa, you're not sure if the chulin has a taste of truma, let a kohen taste it. Kohen's allowed to eat truma also. And he'll tell the Yisrael, either you can or cannot eat this. But who's checking for the Bas B'chalav? Bas B'chalav man ta'imla. V'amar la, v'amris lan. And Rav Papa said to Rava, you told us. You told us. We asked you about this Tosefta. And you said in Shir that who's checking for Tam Basar and the Chalav? Lita Mekvela. Bring in the non-Jewish baker to taste it. So it says, Hachanami Lita Mekvela. So Rav Papa says, Rava, you told us the idea of Kvela. You can have a non-Jew taste it also. So how by the Kar Shamal Babasar, what's the problem with the hot salmon? So you can't have a Jew taste it, have the non-Jew taste it, have the Kvela taste it. Kuf pe yud lamanav. So Rava says, you're right. Hachanami ki kamin delaka Kvela. The answer is, there is no Kvela. If you don't have a, you don't have a non-Jewish baker around. Christopher's not around to taste it. So by the case of the Tzinon Shechasach HaBasakin, I can taste it myself. Before you put in the milchik sauce, I'll see. The Yisrael will see. Does it taste fleshig or is it just parv? And then he'll know, I'll know if I can put it into the milchik sauce or not. But I'm going to put the hot salmon in the pan. If Christopher the baker is not around, I cannot check it. So I will have to machmer misafik. Now again, there are a couple of ukimtas here. Okay. He's saying, when we said mutter, by the seifa was mutter, by the chasson shachasa basak, it was only mutter once I checked it. And we say the ratio is usser, that means, we're talking about a case where I cannot check it, the leka kefela. Okay. But it also makes you wonder, what do you mean leka kefela? You need there has to be a baker. There are no non-Jews around? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you have an entirely Jewish yeshuv. Okay, you're in Skver, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. Okay, maybe it means you're in an entirely Jewish community. There are no non-Jews around whatsoever. Maybe. That's an ukimta. Many Gemaras seem to assume that the standard situation, the Jews and non-Jews live in the same community. You begin to wonder, what do you mean leka kfelim? Maybe it means that you need a particular type of non-Jew to qualify for kvela. Maybe not every non-Jew can be a toim. That's part of where this Gemara is pointing us. Mircham, tomorrow we're going to pick up by looking at the primary sug of kvela, which is on Daf Tzadi Zayin in the previous parak in Gid Anasha. We're going to see some more about the dinim of kvela. And we're going to then take a look in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah and see a very, very surprising Ramah who seems to fly in the face of that sugya and our sugya. And we're going to see the way to solve it may lie in different approaches to Rishonim that in a certain sense flow from this final line of our Gemara, Ki Kamina Deleka Kfeil, which then we will continue to dig deeper into the sugya tomorrow. Rabbi says, thank you so much.